Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I had to wait till the Michael Schenker guitar part there. Thursday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. We got Suze News coming up here. Another reminder of Fish Fry Friday is tomorrow. Fred, who do we have on the roundtable tomorrow?
We have Jane Duker, Greg Keller, and John Gaskin.
Oh, nice.
Come see us live. We'll be out there with Keller on the panel. There's going to be fireworks for sure. Then in the 4 o'clock hour, we got live Suze News. We will have, you know what? I'm hearing a rumor. Yeah. A rumor, can't confirm, a rumor that Cusimano might be there in person
tomorrow.
I heard
him say that he might.
I know.
And this is Brentwood. Where are we?
Brentwood at St. Mary Magdalene. That is 2618 South Brentwood Boulevard. So real easy location, central location, I would say. So come see us tomorrow. Who else do we have? Brad Young's going to come by in the 5
Brad Young.
Car, right?
Right.
Yeah. Guys, I have a horse. I bought a horse.
What is happening?
Okay, let me explain it here.
Huh.
Now, every once in a while...
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you're going to have to indulge me with something that might not affect everyone, but I'm so worked up about it, and I'm so pissed off that I have to share it with the audience. I share my anger on a regular basis. I do because I care, Sue. I think you know that.
You're a deep carer.
So we have this road closing by my house that you've heard me talk about, right? Hillsborough Road. And 3 weeks ago, they closed it down. At this part of where I am in St. Louis County, it's near, it's Valley Park, High Ridge. It's near 141 and 44. There's a road called Merrimack Station, which is there where the Sugar Fire is. You take that down and you get to a road called Hillsborough Road. And there are two horse farms back there. There's a Forest Preservation 44 State Park, which is beautiful, hiking and stuff like that. And then you keep going down that road, and that's where I live, right? So we've known for a while, and this is my understanding, it's ARPA money, it's American Rescue Plan money, that they're going to fix this road. It's a dangerous road. It floods a lot, although I don't know what they can do about that. So this was supposed to take place last year, and it didn't. And I started poking around with Valley Park because I wanted to make sure that the money didn't go elsewhere because the money was allocated. They said, well, there were bureaucratic reasons, blah, blah, blah. So they couldn't start it later in the fall.
Huh.
This spring they started. So they closed the road down. And as you know, because I've been bitching about having to go the other way, we have to go out from my neighborhood to Gravois. And then and it adds pretty much 10 minutes to every trip to and from, which is fine, right? We're making the road safer. But last weekend I discovered this. People in our neighborhoods and elsewhere have been they've been sneaking through the whole time because they're really not doing anything on the road. There's no road work. So people have been going through. And guess what I've done for the past 4 days?
Gone through.
I've gone through with no issues. So then I'm on Twitter this morning, and here's what I see. From Valley Park, they put this up there on their Twitter page. Hillsborough Road closure. With the recent closure of Hillsborough Road for the roadway improvement, there have been some questions and concerns about how the closure will impact traffic in the area. The current closure is at the Forest 44 Conservation Area just before Krauss Farms. Traffic traveling northbound, which is me, if I'm going to 44, traffic going northbound into Valley Park will not be able to proceed beyond this point. For access to 141, the traffic will have to go around, blah, 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 all right? The only traffic, this is the part that got me, The only traffic allowed use of Hillsborough Road from Merrimack Station are employees and customers of the Valley Mount Ranch, Krause Farms, and Second Chance Ranch. Second Chance Ranch is like a
that's really nice. Yeah.
All traffic needing to access Hillsborough Road beyond Krause Farms will have to follow the detour road posted on Merrimack Station. The closures are necessary to keep the workers safe throughout this project. Our officers will be patrolling the area affected and issuing citations when necessary to drivers who fail to obey the closure signs. With these measures in place, we feel this can be an auto accident-free work zone. Let me just say something here about these idiots in Valley Park and apparently St. Louis County. Because here's why it makes no sense logically, right? Let's say that my daughter has gone to this horse farm for a camp. Let's say the camp, and there's going to be camps there. Let's say I'm taking her to the camp, right? That's a mile from my house. I can't go that way. I don't know why, because there's no construction. There's nothing that's going on in the roads.
Didn't they say that's a business? Wouldn't that count as something?
No. Here's the this is why it's a little hard to explain. If you want to go to the businesses from the other direction, you can do it. But you can't go through there if you live in the neighborhood like I do. You can only go for the businesses, Sue. This is a safety issue. Apparently, it's not a safety issue. If you work at Krause Farms or one of these other locations, you're not in risk because it's perfectly safe. It's just not safe for me because I live in the area. I'll go a step further, and I won't make this about me. There's a golf course called Paradise Valley right across from my house. This poor guy, and I talked to him this morning, he's having 70% of his business shut off. So people are able to go up to the point of Krause Farms, but they can't go to his golf course, and literally past Krause Farms, there's nothing. Nothing that's going on. There's nothing that's happened in 3 weeks. They've taken trees down. Okay, here's an idea. Let's shut the road for 3 days and take the trees down and then open it back up, you idiots. Okay, wait, Ameren has to do utility pole. Oh, well, Ameren got distracted because they had to take care of all the power. Fine. Keep the road open, you idiots. So here's my horse story. I'm getting pulled over. I own a damn horse at Krause Farms. I'm going to feed my horse. And let me tell you something, that horse is going to be damn hungry over the next couple of weeks before they do any road work because I'm going to have to feed the horse a lot. You understand, I'm going to have to go this way to the horse. I'm going to have to feed the horse the other way in the direction. So my damn horse is going to be fed a lot.
I understand how frustrating this is. And I have to think that their reasoning is, we've just got to keep less traffic through there. It's the only way we can control it. Otherwise, people will go through there all the time.
Sure, that is their reasoning.
But, I mean, but the reasoning is flawed. This poor guy with the golf course, I mean, I'm not worried about you in 10 minutes, I got to admit to you.
No, I know I'm not going to get empathy for that.
But the guy with the golf course, that's serious.
But Sue, you understand, there is legitimately, if you're going to let people go up to the point of Krause Farms where they shut it off, there is no reason to have it closed up further because there's no work being done there.
Yeah.
At all.
That's really frustrating.
So what's happened in the past few weeks is everyone's like, okay. And then people keep moving the signs, and then they move the signs back, and now they're threatening to ticket people. My solution is I have a horse.
Okay. What is the golf course guy supposed to do?
I think the better question is, Mark, what is your horse's name?
Oh, these allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I was going to call him Mr. Ed, but I'm going to call him Mr. Fred. That's my horse.
Oh, that's good.
I like
the cop,
that.
When the cop pulls
me
over,
that.
Mr. Fred is my horse up there. I'm just going to feed him. I'll be right back, dude.
He's a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
They'll have to let you through. On this day in history, in 1953, the very first issue of TV Guide hit newsstands. Now, I remember being a kid, and there will be
right,
no TV
because
Guide.
Because it would be in the Sunday newspaper.
Exactly. It'll be in the paper. There is no need for us to get TV Guide. But when I went to somebody's house who had it, I was like, you could look through it at my desk. Right, Fred?
Oh, yeah. Mark? That separated the classes.
It really did. And I was not on the upper.
Man, I must have been on the upper. I remember it. Whoa. I don't know how I remember it, but it was pretty much present in my life.
Wow. Show off.
But TV Guide was kind of like a little bit of a magazine. It wasn't just
That's
your
just
programming.
It.
They did some feature stories and things like that.
Well, yeah. Fred and I at the bottom of the barrel got nothing. And Lucille Ball and her baby, Desi Arnaz Jr., were on the first cover. That's a good trivia. You're going to trivia, that's a good one.
Saturday night.
Are you
going?
I'm going
to a trivia Saturday
Who's
night. It's for the Down Syndrome Association.
That's really nice.
And it's somewhere out in Fenton.
Are you good at that? Trivia?
I'm really good at picking up the food and keeping score.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Fred,
writing
Mark,
down the answers.
You better hope
baseball.
You better hope you don't have to take damn Hillsborough Road to get there in Fenton.
Oh,
you won't be able to get there.
Yep.
Just drop Mr. Fred's name and you'll get through.
Well, that'd be Mr. Mark.
Oh, well, that's true. 25 years ago today, in 2000, a federal judge ruled that Microsoft had violated antitrust laws and had tried to illegally monopolize the browser market by bundling Internet Explorer with Windows. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I have that. You know, I could have done that.
Yeah,
right?
I forgot until
I read
it.
That's not the right one. That's a Milk is Bad Choice. I said Will Ferrell on there. We didn't need that.
And this one's for Mark because it was 15 years ago today in 2010 when Apple released the first generation iPad. It's only 15 years old. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is.
I love my iPad Pro with the Magic Keyboard so much. I depend on it in my life. It sits here with me every day. I really do love it.
It is
a wonderful, and I've grown to love it more. I use my MacBook a lot, but I really use this more than my MacBook.
What's the difference?
Is with the iPad, it's a touch screen. So you can use the keyboard, but I can't touch my MacBook screen and do things. On here, I can do things with my fingers. So.
You know, last time I got a new laptop, the guy asked me, do you want, screen touch? Because it's more expensive. And mine's just a Microsoft one. And I said, oh, I don't need it. And then I thought, yeah, you know what I do? And it's the best thing ever. I will not go back. Touchscreen is so great.
I agree. And that's what it gets confusing. Honestly, sometimes when I'm on my MacBook, I try to
touch the screen. It in here all the time. I'm like trying to blow up the map. It's not blowing up. And then, I haven't seen it in years. But The Simpsons was renewed for its 40th season.
I heard about that.
It is the longest running scripted primetime show.
Wow.
When was the last time you watched Simpsons?
It's been a while since I've watched. Well, yeah. I've sampled it, but I don't know that I've sat down and just watched episode after episode.
Fred, have you ever? No?
I've seen it, but I just don't watch it.
It's not your thing. Well, more important to me, Bob's Burgers has also been renewed. I love it so much.
Honestly, Sue, I would be more likely to press Bob's Burgers because I like that show.
It's so great.
Well. It is good.
And Kevin Kline is on there, as a voice of Mr. Fishoder.
Yeah.
He's so great. Let's see. So Bob's Burgers has been renewed. That'll be seasons 16 through 19. And we had, this is a hockey story. It's Alex Ovechkin. The hockey great from the Washington Capitals is now just 3 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. I mean, think about that.
I never would have thought Wayne Gretzky
would
be eclipsed.
Hang on here a second. I'm gonna have to preempt Sue's news because Trump is taking questions right now on Air Force One, and I want to hear this. And we have Bob Onder coming up. So, Sue, stand by. Yep. Let's see what's going on here.
Make your product in the U.S. And so a lot of people, there's going to be a transition period because they're going to be building instead of paying tariffs to some other place. But there are no tariffs. If you think there are no tariffs, all you have to do is make your product in the United States. So it's and a lot of people are doing that. They're moving, like the auto companies. I know I spoke to 2 of the 4 or 5 that are really active. And they've already started moving their parts making things out of Mexico, out of Canada, and into the United States.
Sir, do you have a sense of how long Elon Musk's mission will last and when he will depart?
Well, Elon is fantastic. And I think he's a patriot, and I think it's a shame what they're doing with his car company. And a great car. It's a great car, great product.
I wanted to see what he was saying there, and I was more interested sort of in the tariff stuff, but we're going to roll on that and see what happens. So, Sue, I can let you wrap up. We do have Congressman Onder coming up in a second. I just wasn't sure exactly what that was, and there's a little background noise as well.
Yeah, there is. The great one's record of all-time goals is 894, and this guy is at 892, so it could happen.
Sounds like it will.
Well, it will.
The Capitals have 7 games left this season. By the way, Alex is 39 years old.
That's amazing.
It is.
Wow. By the way, the Blues in action tonight.
Right.
Big game against the Penguins, right? 11 in a row.
Okay, this is a song origin story for today's random fact. So I've put in the origin. Here's what it is. The song Killing Me Softly was written about Don McLean. The woman who wrote the song, named Lori Lieberman, she heard McLean's song Empty Chairs, and she was so inspired by it, she felt like McLean was killing her softly with it. Here's his song.
And I wonder if you know that I never understood. That although you said you'd go,
that's a good song.
Until you did, I never thought you would.
That's interesting.
Isn't that?
I've never heard this origin story.
I hadn't
that's
either.
Fascinating.
And then I fell down the rabbit hole of the whole thing today and listened to the entire thing. And of course, it's his wife who left him. And he never realized she was going to go. She kept saying, I am, I think I am. And then, but that's what it is. And then this woman heard it and wrote the song, Killing Me Softly, with his song.
Wow, that's really good.
That's very interesting. I love origin stories. I actually have one that I was going to share, and you reminded me. I'm going to see if I don't want to share it if I don't have the song. So I'll let you know if I can share the story a little bit later here.
All right, and that's it for us. Oh,
so that was our random fact.
That was your random fact.
Look at that. All right, we're going to wrap. We do have Congressman Onder coming up here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there. Not a soul. Thursday afternoon, getting you through it here on the Mark Reardon Show. We have Jen Say coming up after the top of the hour. I love Jen so much. In fact, I am wearing my XXXY Athletics gear today. She is a USA champion gymnast, producer of the Emmy Award-winning documentary Athlete A on Netflix, but she is very outspoken on the trans athlete stories. There's been a lot of activity on that in the past couple of days, and we'll get with Jen after the top of the hour. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast, later in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Congressman Bob Onder on the line right now. Bob, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Mark. Great to be back.
Well, I'm very curious about your position and your thoughts right now on the tariff situation. The president's actually right now on Air Force One answering questions about this. I admitted from the start of the show that I am a little nervous about this. We see what the markets are doing. I also said, look, you got to give some of this time to kind of work itself out. But you're a pretty smart guy on the economy. What do you think about all this right now?
Well, yeah, Mark, I do agree with both of those things you just said. I'm always a little worried about tariffs and the economic headwinds they can create. You know, look, in an ideal world, I think we would have free trade and at the same time fair trade. And of course, we know the markets are reacting to the economic uncertainty. You know, at the same time, I think there is evidence that some of Trump's attempt to use tariffs to get better deals, get more investment in the United States, are paying off. I mean, we know Stellantis announced a $5 billion investment in the United States in Illinois, Hyundai, $20 billion. Honda, it looks like, will be moving their production of their Civic Hybrid to Indiana. VW is looking at perhaps moving their Audi and Porsche brands to the United States. So there is, what I hope is that the tariffs are used to negotiate better deals. I think President Trump is right. In many cases, these partners, the trading partners of ours, have much higher not only tariff, but also non-duty barriers to entry, for instance, European restrictions on American cars, than we do on their goods. I hope we can unwind some of that. And I think already, you know, Israel and Vietnam announcing that they are getting rid of tariffs on U.S. goods is great news. So it'll take some time to work its way out. There could be some pain in the meantime, though, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and you know, I understand. I think a lot of people might understand that. I would also say one of the things that makes me more nervous is just the timing of all this. I just saw a tweet from the Atlantic Fed. I think there's an expectation that in the first quarter we're going to be a negative growth. Now, I'm not tagging President Trump with that. That's, you know, residual from the last administration to a certain extent. But if you slip into two quarters, then you have a recession. I think there might be an expectation. And then the concern would be, well, does this make it worse, right? Does it exacerbate it?
Well, that is a concern. Now, I think the things that are going to happen that will get our economy going and help to lower inflation, because let's face it, tariffs on goods can raise prices. But several things we need to do. One is to lower the burden of regulation, and the Trump administration and Congress are very committed to that. We have already in the U.S. House undone something like a dozen Biden regulatory orders, executive orders. And number two, we can restore sound, sane energy policy and end this war on affordable energy that the Biden administration has waged. And energy, the cost of energy goes into everything we do, not just into our gas tanks, but food prices, durable goods prices, housing prices. And number three, we can create enormous economic certainty and confidence in the market by renewing the 2017 Trump tax cuts. And if we do it right with the big, beautiful reconciliation bill, we will at the same time lower spending, which will reassure our bond markets, our financial markets, that we are serious about getting the deficit and the debt under control. And that will reduce interest rates, reduce inflationary pressures as well. So there are a lot of things we can do right. But you know, I am like you, afraid that the tariffs in the short term might create some economic headwinds.
So on the what's referred to as the big, beautiful bill, can you explain where that is right now in the status? The Senate has to move on something first, correct?
Well, yeah, that's right. So the big, beautiful bill refers to this arcane process known as reconciliation, which is basically a budget bill that involves so-called mandatory spending. And the deal is that if it's revenue neutral, we can get around the filibuster in the U.S. Senate, because very few people think the Democrats are going to work with us on this. So the hallmark of this bill is renewing the 2017 Trump tax cuts, as well as providing some changes in energy policy, money for border security. And in the House, the first step in that process is for the House and the Senate to pass budget resolutions to get this process started. The House already did that about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
The Senate still has to. So the Senate could take up and pass the House budget resolution. It doesn't look like that's what they're going to do. So the hope is that the Senate will pass a budget resolution shortly, and then the House will take a look and probably pass that resolution. So it's complicated. But then the real work starts, where each committee in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate will have to decide exactly what taxes are we renewing, what new tax cuts might there be, and what spending cuts do we need to make to make this all work out. So it's a complicated process. It's a tough process with narrow majorities. But I think with the president's leadership, I do think we get it done at the end of the day.
You and I have talked about this before, but I still think there's an overwhelming majority of people in the country that have no idea that if you guys don't act, their taxes are all going up.
Yeah, on average, 22% tax hikes for every American. This will be the largest tax increase in American history, a $4.5 trillion tax increase. And don't for a second believe any of the Democratic demagoguery that this is tax cuts for the rich. Every single American will see their taxes increase. The standard, you know, every tax bracket's interest rate, tax rate will increase. The standard deduction will go down. There will be increases in business taxes on small business, increase in the death tax. So, yeah, this affects every American if we don't get it done.
And, Bob, I hope that the media is honest in their coverage of that, and I don't have any expectation that they will be. Hey, I saw this yesterday. I wanted you to explain it. This is you in a committee hearing.
Our Democrat colleagues insist on repeating their misrepresentations about Medicaid. There are no Medicaid cuts. Where do they get the $880 billion figure they keep repeating? They get that because that's the total amount that the Energy and Commerce Committee is tasked with saving.
That's a situation where they like to use Washington math, right?
Yeah, exactly, Mark. So all this talk about Medicaid cuts, first of all, none of the reforms in Medicaid badly needs reform. I can tell you that from 30 years of practicing medicine, Medicaid badly needs reform. The money that the Energy and Commerce Committee needs to save. Now, the Energy and Commerce Committee can save at least $100 billion by getting rid of the Biden EV mandate. But let's assume, you know, $800 billion were all going to be taken out of Medicaid reforms. According to the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, over the next decade, Medicaid spending, instead of going up by $2.5 trillion, it would go by $1.7 trillion. And that's what I mean by Washington math. Only in Washington, D.C., does spending $1.7 trillion more amount to some sort of a draconian
cut. It's unbelievable. And again, there you have the media that goes right along with that and makes everything worse. Congressman Bob Onder is with us this afternoon. I want you, because I'm going to talk about this with, I mentioned Jen Tsai after the top of the hour. She has really been, along with Riley Gaines, a champion on some of these women's issues, especially with biological men competing against biological women. But you've introduced something called the No Harm Act, Bob. Explain what that is.
Yeah, the No Harm Act addresses a number of issues related to this cult, this sadistic cult known as gender ideology. Most Americans do not know that right now their tax dollars are going to poison and surgically mutilate children in the name of reassigning or changing their gender, their sex. And one of President Trump's day one executive orders was to cut off Medicare, Medicaid, and other government funds from paying for these ghoulish experiments on children. In addition, in some states, parents are being stripped of their parental rights when they're not going along with so-called gender transition. We also know that that some healthcare providers, because they don't want to participate in this, have lost their jobs. So we need to defund the transgender industry, at least with our tax dollars. We need to protect parents. We need informed consent. And at the end of the day, when these victims of this horrific ideology wake up, they need to be able to sue the quacks who subjected these harms on them. So the Do No Harm Act will do all of those things. And I really look forward to moving it through Congress.
I think you've had some things to say recently about the immigration efforts as well. Is there something along those lines that you introduced? Or am I?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, in the immigration space, we talk a lot about border security, of course. And we know that compared to the Biden administration's border crossing numbers, President Trump's numbers are down 95%. So we have dramatically reduced illegal immigration from border crossings, although about 42% of illegal immigration is from visa overstays, whether they be student visas, work visas, tourist visas. So the Timely Departure Act would crack down on that aspect of immigration, illegal immigration, and make sure there is accountability so that when people come to this country on various visas, that they do leave when they are supposed to. And if they want to stay, they can, of course, invoke various legal processes to try to get a green card and eventually citizenship.
My favorite story of the week, and I'm guessing you may have at least seen the headline, LA Times, California-Mexico border, once overwhelmed, now nearly empty. With so few migrants coming into the U.S., shelters that once served migrants have closed. This must be just accidental, because I was told repeatedly in the previous administration that it's Republicans, people like you, people like me, that stopped this. President Trump said, don't do it, because he just wanted the political victory. But lo and behold, it's magic, isn't it?
Remember when we were supposed to pass the Biden-Schumer amnesty bill that I believe it was something like a million illegal immigration, immigrant crossings before the president could shut down the border? Yeah, we were supposed to pass that ridiculous bill. That was the only way we were going to get the border situation under control. And yeah, magically, without passing that bill, Donald Trump has reduced the border crossings 95-98%, and really, and in addition, dramatically reduced human trafficking and fentanyl trafficking across the border.
Absolutely.
It's just awesome.
It is. Bob, thank you so much. Congressman Bob Onder, we'll talk again soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
I wanted to give a little bit more detail, because I didn't do this a couple of days ago, and this is quite the story. It was from March 30th, so that would be what, Sunday? When the humanitarian aid workers decided to dismantle their elaborate tented setup erected right up against the border wall, they hadn't seen migrants for a month. A year earlier, when historic numbers of migrants were arriving at the border, we usually call them illegal migrants, right? The American Friends Services Committee, a national Quaker-founded human rights organization, came to their aid. Eventually, the group received enough donations to erect three canopies where it stored food, clothing, and medical supplies. But migrant crossings have slowed down to near halt, bringing a striking change to the landscape along the southernmost stretch of California. Shelters, Sue, that once received migrants have closed. Makeshift camps where migrants waited for processing are barren. This is the LA Times, remember. This is not the Wall Street Journal. This is the LA Times. And nonprofits have begun shifting their services to established immigrants in the U.S. who are facing deportation or migrants stuck in southern Mexico. While I give the LA Times credit for doing that story, where the hell is the rest of the legacy media admitting that this thing has been cleaned up? Good Lord. We're coming back. I don't think it's a little hotter this afternoon, but I thought I'd give us a little hope for the rest of the week.
Thanks,
because
appreciate it.
This is not the best weather, but I said the other day, I think we got off a little easy in March because sometimes March is nasty. We had beautiful weather. We got a little stretch here of rain. Dave Murray told us yesterday, maybe 2 to 4 inches through the weekend. But spring is here, though.
Yes,
right? We should be happy that spring is here. Jen Say is coming up. Do you notice what I have on here today? Got my XXXY shirt. These are really good shirts. I have my hat. I might don my hat for Jen. She is the founder and the CEO of XXXY Athletics. But maybe more important than that here for our purposes, she's really, really a leader and one of the folks, along with Riley Gaines and others, that have been championing this women's rights issue for just young ladies that don't have to compete against young men. And there's another situation. Did you see what happened with the fencer?
No.
Well, this is really good. You had a fencer that decided, the video is actually on Fox right now. She's facing a biological male opponent. She kneels down and says, I cannot compete against
you. Ridiculous.
The other person comes up to her thinking, and they actually get along okay, thinking, hey, are you okay? So the trans girl comes up and says, are you okay? And she says, yeah, but I'm not going to do this. So she kind of stood down on principle. Well, then they disqualified her.
Of course. And
she knew
How
that she was going to be disqualified. Yeah, so it's kind of a fascinating case, and we'll get Jen Say on that here in a minute. Here's Stephanie Turner.
Initially, I told them that I was refusing defense because this person is a man, and I am a woman, and this is a women's tournament, and I refuse defense on principle.
And then the reaction.
My opponent was a little bit confused, thinking that I was maybe hurt, and I said, no, I am refusing to defend you because I'm a woman and you are a man. I have much love and respect for you, but I will not compete against you. His response was, okay, but there's a member of the board of directors here, and he supports me, and there's a policy that says that I'm a woman and I'm allowed to compete in the women's tournament, and if you do this, you're going to get black carded. And I said, I know.
Yeah, so she knew that. And again, this all goes to the issue. What's that word again? Fairness.
Yep.
There's nothing for me, and there's everything for him. I am a woman, and I have an athletic disadvantage to men, so I compete in the women's division, which is where I rightfully am. But he has been given this opportunity to fence in the women's division, and he can compete. He can easily compete in the men's division. He can also compete at mixed events in local tournaments if he wants. There is a place for him. So the idea that they're expanding the women's is just essentially making it an open tournament that can include men, and it ends up hurting me and other girls.
Well, good for her, I would say. She's actually taking a stand. There was a lot of reaction on this from folks like even Martina Navratilova weighed in. She goes, this is what happens when female athletes protest. Anyone here still thinks this is fair? I'm fuming, and shame on USA Fencing. Shame on you for doing this. How dare you throw women under the gender, and she says BS, but she says the whole word bus. You know, even the young girl, we played the audio yesterday. We talked with Jen about this coming up, but she said that when she simply went to a school having XXXY on a T-shirt or a hat, that the administrators called her a Nazi. Basically, they compared it to having a Nazi symbol on her T-shirt. It's not even remotely the same. Yeah. But this is what happens. J.K. Rowling retweeted this about the fencer, and she said, "This is what a heroine looks like." This is the University of Maryland and Wagner College that this is involved with. And I think it's incredible that she did this, Stephanie Turner. But one of the things, and maybe Jen will address this, Riley Gaines has said this as well. You don't have a premier athlete like a Caitlin Clark or someone along those lines that people know. Of course, she'll never do it because the WNBA doesn't even realize what they're doing to themselves supporting all this stuff. They're not thinking through it. But my point is, and this is what Riley said, you just don't have that one high-profile athlete who's a female that has the guts to do this. Now, I know that it's hard. It's complicated. You're going to get,
you have to give up your career.
Right. You might have to. And that's why a lot of people are speaking out about it in the aftermath and not, when they're competing in the sport. But while Stephanie Turner, that's brave, and she's getting a lot of attention, we'll talk about it after 5.
Get more at 971talk.com.